WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The University of Wisconsin system continues to wait and see what its budget will be over the next 2 years after lawmakers met behind closed doors for more than 8 hours yesterday, only to delay the vote to a later day. The delay comes after Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss announced yesterday he would like to see the state's university system have their funding cut by $32 million, something Democratic Governor Tony Evers classified as, quote, war on higher education in Wisconsin. The Evers administration requested a $305 million increase in the UW system budget over the next 2 years to assist campuses around the state that are facing budgetary constraints after 10 years of tuition freezes and declining support from the state. Wisconsin currently holds a record surplus of close to $7 billion. A deal to increase K-12 education spending and send more state money to local communities is going to the full legislature. As Terry Bell reports, the shared revenue bill passed the Joint Finance Committee yesterday.
Milwaukee Democratic Representative Evan Goyke says the legislature shouldn't tell Milwaukee it can't use money raised from property taxes to pay for diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts.
It does not belong in this bill whatsoever. It isn't a major component of the city's operating budget. It really doesn't impact the pension or the decisions made long before any of us were in office that led the city and the county to the fiscal position they're in.
Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson says Milwaukeeans were treated like pawns in shared revenue negotiations.
Our children and our city and our county, we are not political footballs. We are people.
The restrictions in the bill are part of the deal Governor Evers made with Republicans, in part to save Milwaukee from bankruptcy. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The goose population is growing and getting to be a nuisance in public parks. Animal rights advocates are urging local governments in Wisconsin not to euthanize them. Mike Moen reports.
Mid-June is considered a key time for cities to carry out elements of their control plans, because that's when geese lose their flight feathers and grow new ones. Mary Telfer with Alliance for Animals says places like Madison and Maquonago have turned to lethal options at various points. Action she calls cruel and inhumane.
These are highly intelligent birds, and they have a strong family structure. They mourn when they lose a partner or a family member or an egg.
The group urges local agencies to stick with other strategies like habitat modification. Madison officials say they rely on several non-lethal practices and euthanasia only as a last resort. Mitigation plans have become prominent as Canadian geese numbers have soared.
I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. In Eau Claire, you won't be able to move your vehicle to a parking space on the same block to avoid time-restricting parking rules for the city's business district. The city's ordinance for special parking regulations was changed to limit vehicles to be parked on one block only once per day, partly in an effort to crack down on people who would move their vehicle to an adjacent parking spot every couple of hours. The change in ordinance was mainly driven by software limitations and its license plate recognition equipment. A La Crosse County official expects that overdose deaths will increase over the summer. The county's chief medical examiner said that the summer trend is for people to travel more, and that goes for drug traffickers as well. Already this year, the La Crosse Police Department has had over 100 calls for overdoses in the city. The county official said that the reason La Crosse is seeing so much drug activity is that it's in the middle of larger cities like Minneapolis, Chicago, and Milwaukee, and also it sits right on the interstate. Every officer with the police department carries Narcan to help in response to overdose calls. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose to the Twins. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a 5-3 lead last night at Target Field. Christian Yelich with a double, a home run, and four runs batted in. But in the bottom of the ninth, the Twins' Michael A. Taylor hit a solo shot off of Milwaukee closer Devin Williams, Donovan Solano with an RBI single, and then shortstop Carlos Correa came to the plate with one run on. Dick Bremer with the call.
Now Correa, 0-4 on the night. A drive to left, back and gone! Carlos Correa's signature moment in his year and a half for the Twins. What an inning.
The Brewers losing 7-5. In the visitors' clubhouse, the Brewers' Devin Williams, after suffering his first blown save of the season.
I mean, they put some good swings on the ball, and you know, you saw the results. I don't really think I need to explain much.
Craig Counsell.
I think he's ahead of Taylor 0-1, and he's ahead of Correa 0-1, so I know it doesn't happen often, but it's going
to
happen.
Milwaukee now trying to snap a 5-game losing streak, game 2 of the 2-game series this afternoon, first pitch at 12:10. And a roster move. Last night they signed outfielder Ramel Tapia after he was released by the Red Sox. Hockey, the Vegas Golden Knights won their first Stanley Cup with a 9-3 win over the Florida Panthers in just their 6th season as an NHL franchise. NFL, the Packers minicamp continues today in Green Bay. Former Packers safety Adrian Amos signed a 1-year deal worth up to $4 million with the Jets. The 30-year-old Amos becomes the 6th Packer player to join Aaron Rodgers in New York. I asked safety Darnell Savage if he'd heard the news.
Yeah, it's really tough, you know, but it's one of those things, man. It's the nature of the business. It's just one of those you try not to dwell on. You know what I'm saying? You wake up one day and the guy next to you might not be in his lockers.
Jair Alexander.
I miss him, you know. I owe him a Christmas present, too. This past Christmas, I still owe him.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock now. Well, make that 7 minutes now. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. It's the 14th of June. It's Flag Day. Are you flying your flag today? You should be. Today's the day. And good morning. I'm Stu Daniels. Welcome to the Stu Daniels Show. And we have a lot going on today. Before we get to all the headlines and other things going on, let's check outside. It's going to be mostly cloudy this morning for Western Wisconsin. And then mostly sunny this afternoon, and it should be a pretty nice day with highs in the low 80s. And in sports, the Brewers lost to the Twins last night 7-5. They've now lost 5 games in a row, but still remain just a game behind the Pirates, who also lost last night to the Cubs. And on this date in 1940, the first political prisoners arrived at Auschwitz from Poland. Over the following 5 years, Auschwitz would be Nazi Germany's largest extermination camp, where more than 1 million people died. 1940 on this date, people started arriving. Also, born on this date in 1939, U.S. Representative from Maryland, Steny Hoyer. In 1933, author Jerzy Kaczynski. The guy that wrote Being There. I remember having to read that in 9th grade. It's a great book if you ever get a chance. And there was a movie as well. I believe it starred Peter Sellers back in the day. Born on this date in 1946, former President Donald Trump. Also born on this date, 1855, Fighting Bob La Follette, former governor of Wisconsin. And United States Senator from Wisconsin, even ran for president back in 1924. Also born on this date, 1811, Harriet Beecher Stowe, author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, published in 1852, a novel that contributed so much to the popular sentiment against slavery that it is cited among the causes of the American Civil War. So what are the headlines today? Well, let me tell you. These are some of the headlines in the news today. Environmental activists and Native American tribes are calling on the Biden administration to shut down an oil pipeline they say is a threat to the Great Lakes and the people who get their water from the world's largest freshwater system. Also in the news today, Republican lawmakers approved a plan to provide $1 billion in additional revenue to Wisconsin schools. But some Democrats are saying the plan is about $1 billion short of what's actually needed. And Republicans in Madison have delayed approval of funding for the UW system because of campus diversity efforts. A move, Governor Evers said, is a decade-long war on higher education institutions in our state. Also, the Wisconsin Department of Justice wants to reverse the decision not to fund school safety initiatives. So those are some of the headlines that we're going to try to get to during the show today. I want to first get to the story about the pipeline. Have you heard about this? The pipeline known as Line 5, the Enbridge Line 5 oil pipeline. The headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says, as battles over Enbridge Line 5 oil pipeline grind on, tribes fear Great Lakes and treaty rights are at risk. This was just posted about an hour ago by Caitlin Luby in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says just the name, Line 5, can elicit polarizing emotions to some. Enbridge Incorporated's pipeline is an environmental roll of the dice, what Michelle Woodhouse, the program manager of Water for Environmental Defense Canada, calls gambling with the world's largest freshwater system. To others, it's a safe way to move 22 million gallons of crude oil and natural gas liquids every day, energizing Michigan since 1953, as Enbridge's website boasts. The pipeline crosses 645 miles, beginning at Enbridge's Superior Terminal, continuing through Douglas, Bayfield, Ashland, and Iron counties in northern Wisconsin, crossing Michigan's Upper Peninsula, traveling under the Straits of Mackinac, or Mackinac, Mackinac is the way I pronounce it, through Michigan's Lower Peninsula and on to refineries in Sarnia, Ontario. The Calgary-based company earns up to $2 million per day from the pipeline and supplies upwards of 55% of Michigan's propane needs, according to the Enbridge website. The pipeline also serves refineries in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Ontario, and Quebec. Line 5 has had 35 spills in its history, about one every other year, releasing a total of more than 1 million gallons of oil into the environment. The pipeline is operating with expired easements, that's the rights to cross a piece of land, on the Bad River Reservation near Lake Superior, and throughout Michigan. There seems to be no end to legal battles and safety concerns. The Line 5 pipeline has even gotten the attention of the United Nations. In May, an advisory board on indigenous issues recommended that the U.S. and Canada shut the oil pipeline down. Now, environmental activists increasingly say the Biden administration is their ultimate hope. They argue Line 5 is one of the greatest threats to the Great Lakes, which hold 20% of the world's fresh water and supply drinking water to more than 40 million people. This is a matter of national freshwater security, which is why Biden needs to step in, said Whitney Gravel, president of the Bay Mills Indian Community in Upper Michigan. Quote, if the Biden administration wants to act as real climate leaders, then they need to listen to frontline communities, indigenous peoples, and scientists, and immediately shut down Line 5, said Osprey Oriel Lake, the executive director of Women's Earth and Climate Action Network. So far, Biden has said nothing, and it's hard not to factor in the 2024 presidential election. It says here, keeping the pipeline operational runs counter to environmental justice initiatives embraced by the Biden administration, as well as its promise to help the country transition to a clean, carbon-neutral economy. However, shutting down the pipeline would hurt union jobs, a hallmark of the Democratic platform. Terminating the pipeline presents severe consequences for people and industries in the U.S. and Canada, Enbridge said in an emailed statement to the Journal Sentinel. The conflict over the pipeline
is taking place on three fronts: the Bad River Band's lands, the state of Michigan, and the Straits of Mackinac, which separate Lakes Michigan and Huron. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa first filed a lawsuit in 2019 to remove the Line 5 pipeline. The pipeline operates on 12 miles of its land, even though the easement expired in 2013 after the tribe refused to renew it, fearing environmental damage. The Bad River flows into Lake Superior and is home to the Kakagon Sloughs. Is that how you say that? A system of wetlands with the largest natural wild rice bed on the Great Lakes. After 3 years, U.S. District Judge William M. Conley ruled last September that Enbridge was trespassing on the tribe's land, but stopped short of shutting it down. Things took a turn on the tribe's land this spring. Literally, major flooding moved one bank of the meandering Bad River, closing the gap between the buried pipeline and the water to less than 15 feet at multiple locations. When the tribe first filed the lawsuit in 2019, it stated that a particular bank called the Meander stood 320 feet away, and for the tribe, even that was too close. Worried that rushing floodwaters could expose and rupture the pipeline, the Bad River Band submitted an emergency filing in May asking the court with renewed urgency to shut down the pipeline. Judge Conley didn't issue a ruling, but instead said that the tribe wasn't helping matters by not taking steps to prevent erosion along the river. In 2022, Enbridge also proposed to reroute the pipeline at the request of the Bad River Band. The company proposed a new 41-mile section that would go around the reservation. The reroute would still sit in the Bad River watershed and would cross 186 waterways. Enbridge is still in the planning phases for the reroute. And it says here, Enbridge is still optimistic it can work with the tribe. Quote, this is from the company. It says, Enbridge remains open to working with the band to address the current situation at the meander and move forward with the relocation project. That was an emailed statement from the company. The band's position is that it shouldn't have the responsibility of preventing erosion to help the company keep its pipeline in service or otherwise accommodate a pipeline it considers dangerous. And so the sparring continues. Earlier this week, representatives of Wisconsin Jobs and Energy Coalition were in Superior touting the importance of keeping Line 5 operating. Their argument, without it, thousands of trucks would clog Wisconsin freeways, which no one wants. I don't know. Having some trucks on the freeways might be a better way to go than having the waters of the Great Lakes poisoned with toxic oil and propane, other things that go through that pipeline. Just my opinion. What do you think? If you have an opinion, give us a call, 715-388-7155. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
There is danger at your door. Think this through with me. Let me know your mind. What I want to know is, are you kind? It's a buck dancer's choice, my friends. Better take my advice. You know all the rules by now and the fire from the ice.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On Wednesday, June 14th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert. The Cattail Moonstring Band performs live at 6 o'clock. On June 16th, stop by the Danielson Stage in Amory and enjoy the Music on the River event. Starts at 5 o'clock with the Bluesers, and that's followed by Frank Bush and the Names at 7 p.m. On June 17th, the Women's Club Arts and Crafts Fair is held at North Park in Amory from 9 until 3. Stop by, enjoy the food, and a variety of vendors. Plus, don't worry, parking is free. And on June 19th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46. That's in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome to attend.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us, and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 84. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 54. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs level off around 77. Highs around 81 Friday under sunny skies. 86 Saturday, chance for scattered thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Thank you.
check. Son of a gun, better change your act. We're all confused. What's to lose? You can call this song the United States Blues.
Wave that flag, wave it wide and high.
Yeah, wave that flag, wave it wide and high. Happy Flag Day, everybody. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're having a good day so far. It's 26 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. And one of the headlines that we mentioned earlier, Republican lawmakers approved a plan to provide about $1 billion in additional revenue to Wisconsin schools. That sounds like a good thing, right? But some Democrats are saying that plan is about $1 billion short of what's actually needed. And we'll check out this story in the Journal Sentinel today from Molly Beck. The headline says Republicans pass $1 billion boost in school spending, meeting a Tony Evers demand in deal to fund local governments. And it seems like that's the way things are in government, right? You have to compromise sometimes so not everybody gets everything they want. Republican lawmakers writing the next state budget approved a plan to provide Wisconsin schools with about $1 billion in additional revenue through a mix of new funding and property tax increases, meeting one of Democratic Governor Tony Evers' demands in state leaders' negotiations on a bill to boost funding for local governments. Lawmakers agreed to include in the state budget an additional $778 million in state funding and allowing school districts to raise the rest through property tax increases. Included in the plan passed late Tuesday, yesterday, was $534 million more in general school aids and an increase of $650 per student in state-imposed limits on how much revenue schools are allowed to raise over the 2 years of the state budget. And the percentage of special education costs covered by the state would also increase to 33.3% from 30% under current law. But a quote from Kel DeRoys, a state senator from Madison, said, "You're still a billion short, even with this. You've dug a huge hole." So the debate still goes on. Is the $1 billion enough, or do we need more? Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back shortly. Stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of
this summer. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Donald Trump waking up on his 77th birthday as a criminal defendant. The former president is facing 37 felonies over his handling of classified documents after leaving office. ABC's Justin Finch has more on Tuesday's court appearance in Miami.
Special counsel Jack Smith, who led the investigation, was sitting one row behind Trump. He accuses Trump of illegally keeping classified documents at his Mar-a-Lago resort, including secrets about U.S. nuclear programs. Some of the charges potentially carry decades in prison if Trump is convicted.
The former president telling his supporters in New Jersey last night that the case is nothing but a witch hunt. The Federal Reserve is expected to pause interest rate hikes when it wraps up its June meeting today. The latest consumer price index shows inflation cut in half from last year's peak. In a sign of the times, the Westfield Mall is giving up its downtown San Francisco location, citing declining sales and shoppers. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Last night in the state high school baseball championships, it was the Division IV semifinals. Both Ithaca and Pecatonica advanced with one-run victory. They'll play tomorrow morning for the Division IV state championship. Today is the Division III, II, and I semifinals. It starts with Aquinas taking on Random Lake, followed by St. Croix Falls battling Keel. Altoona will play this afternoon around 1 o'clock. Also, the state high school girls soccer championship begins tomorrow. Ashland will take on top-seeded Edgewood to get things started. A La Crosse County official expects that overdose deaths will be increasing over the summer, and that's because the summer trend is for people to travel more. That goes for drug traffickers as well. Already this year, the La Crosse Police Department has had over 100 calls for overdoses within the city. The county official said that the reason La Crosse sees so much drug activity is that it's in the middle of larger cities like Minneapolis, Chicago, and Milwaukee, and also sits along the interstate. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
More than 7,000 truck accidents happen every year in Wisconsin. These accidents can be devastating, resulting in severe damage and trauma, often more severe than a regular car accident. Gingras Thompson & Wachs can help. They'll assist you not only with the driver of the semi, but also the trucking and insurance companies, making sure you receive the compensation you deserve.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & GTWLawyers.com.
He might not have a badge, but we have faith in his killer instinct. Celebrate the 10th anniversary of famed detective priest Father Brown. Stream the new season now, only on BritBox.
That sounds like a marvelous plan.
Plus, watch even more unofficial detectives in much-loved series, including Agatha Christie's Marple, Murder in Provence, and more. Expect intriguing mystery. Expect The Undetectives. Start streaming today at BritBox.com.
Are you interested in learning about becoming a regulated child care provider? We can help. Northwest Connection Family Resources is your local child care resource and referral agency serving northern Wisconsin. Call us today at 800-733-KIDS and talk about the benefits of becoming a family child care provider, including work from home, be your own boss, set your own hours, and be home with your own children. Free informational sessions are happening now. For more information, call 800-733-KIDS.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now. 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It's 8:35 right now on this Wednesday morning. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station trying to cover some of the headlines today. So much stuff going on. One of the headlines that we mentioned, Republicans in Madison have delayed approval of funding for the UW system because of campus diversity efforts, a move Governor Evers said is a decade-long war on higher education institutions in our state. And I have an article here from the Journal Sentinel that says Republicans delay vote on UW system budget as debate over campus diversity efforts continue. And this says lawmakers writing the next state budget spent 8 hours behind closed doors yesterday, only to delay action on the University of Wisconsin system after the legislature's top Republican said UW campuses would see a $32 million cut in state funding, a move the Democratic governor characterized as a war on higher education. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, told the Associated Press on Tuesday that he wanted to cut funding for campus diversity offices and programming, which he sees as a waste of taxpayer money and source of division. Voss's proposal to cut UW's budget comes at a time when Wisconsin has a $7 billion surplus, creating a sense of hope among UW campuses that more money would come after decades of lagging state support and a 10-year tuition freeze. The budget writing committee was scheduled to vote on UW's budget Tuesday afternoon, but told reporters around 9:30 p.m. that the vote would be delayed to a later date. Governor Tony Evers called the proposed cuts disastrous and reflective of Republicans' lack of solutions to solve the workforce crisis. He had proposed a $305 million budget increase for the UW system. Quote, make no mistake, Speaker Voss and Republicans' short-sighted move to gut our UW system by tens of millions of dollars is about one thing. Republicans' decade-long war on higher education institutions in our state, Evers said in a statement. Senator Kel DeRoy's Democrat from Madison, said Republicans slashing UW system funding is nothing new, and Wisconsin would lose out if politicians punish the biggest economic engine of the state. Seems like if you want to attract workers and keep people, young people in our state, the best thing to do is to fund the education system. The story goes on and says the budget committee already stripped funding for UW system's top building project priority, a new engineering building for UW-Madison that would allow the flagship to train more student engineers. The removal of the $347 million project, nearly half of which would be funded from UW-Madison donors, baffled members of the business community that are struggling to hire enough engineers. So what, now Republicans are against business? I don't know. Doesn't make sense. Here's another quote from Kel DeRoy's. She said, politicians shouldn't be dictating what college students get to learn. But this is the Republican Party of today, engage in endless culture wars and use the state's budget as a weapon. UW System President Jay Rothman has talked about the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion programming on campuses. Diversity offices help recruit students at a time when declining enrollment and they also foster a sense of belonging for those who have historically been discriminated against in higher education. Rothman recently hired a new chief diversity officer who started the job just this week. UW System spokesperson Mark Pitch said officials are waiting to see what comes before the budget writing committee before commenting. The budget cut would have come on top of a projected $60 million deficit by the end of 2023-2024. According to UW system figures, nearly a third of the deficit, which is $18.8 million, would be borne by UW-Milwaukee. Another one of the UW system's 26 campuses, UW-Platteville-Richland, is phasing out in-person degree programs and shifting online next year. Asked about the potential for other campus closures, Rothman said late last month that the idea remains on the table if the budget picture doesn't improve. Quote, "We want to continue to be as accessible and affordable as we can, but we also have to face economic reality," he said. "Reducing accessibility is a last resort, but it is certainly a function if we can't figure out the revenue side of the equation and the expense side of the equation," end quote. A national report last month also highlighted the financial strain that UW campuses are operating under. Wisconsin ranked 42nd among 50 states in funding its four-year public university system. Is that where we want to be? 42nd out of 50? I don't know if that's a good way to, go into the future, a good way to go forward. It would seem to be a better idea to be among at least the top 20, if not the top 10. And the story in the Journal Sentinel goes on and says the 2022 data also showed Wisconsin had the third largest gap in public funding between its two-year and four-year systems, trailing only Arizona and New Hampshire. The State Higher Education Executive Officers Association reported that UW campuses receive about $6,200 per student, while Wisconsin Technical Colleges receive about $14,000 per student. Evers proposed a roughly $80 million increase for technical colleges over the next 2 years, which Republicans pared down to $14 million. The UW system will see some additional money coming into its coffers next year. In-state undergraduate tuition is increasing for the first time in a decade. Students can expect to pay an average of 5% more in base tuition in 2023-24. According to the UW system, the tuition increase is expected to generate $38 million annually, and most of that money will go toward funding employee raises. College students paying more next year won't see big boosts in state financial aid. Evers proposed a $17 million increase for the Wisconsin Grant Program, which is awarded on a first-come, first-served basis to those with financial need. The limited funding pot means some students applying for aid won't receive it. Wisconsin grants are capped at $3,150 per student, an amount written into state law in 2009-10. Evers proposed raising the cap for University of Wisconsin system students to about $5,400. Republicans did not increase funding for the Wisconsin Grant Program, nor raise the cap, which Representative Evan Goyke of Milwaukee, a Democrat, called, quote, "such a mistake," end quote. And Wisconsin trails other states in terms of how much it spends on financial aid grants per student, according to a report last year by the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum. In 2020, the state spent $541 per undergraduate, almost half the national average of $980. So how important is funding for the UW system? Well, if you want to keep young people in our state, and if you want to attract even more young people to our state, maybe we should be funding the UW system with what it needs. I think that would be a good way to go forward and make Wisconsin an attractive place for people coming up from Chicago or across state lines from Minneapolis or anywhere in Minnesota or anywhere in Illinois or Michigan, right? Wisconsin's a great place, and we should have a great education system. That's my opinion. Hey, let's take a look at some health news. Okay, this is from the New York Times. How important would you say is noise in your life? Would you say it's possible that noise could affect your health and well-being? Could it actually affect your lifespan, the number of years you get to spend on this earth? Well, that's what the New York Times is saying in this story with a headline that says noise could take years off your life. And here's how. It says, we used a professional sound meter to measure the din of daily life and talked to scientists about the health risks it can pose. This was originally posted on June 9th. says on a spring afternoon in Bankers Hill, San Diego, the soundscape is serene. Sea breeze rustles through the trees, and neighbors chat pleasantly across driveways, except for about every 3 minutes when a jet blazes overhead with an ear-piercing roar. A growing body of research shows that this kind of chronic noise, which rattles the neighborhood over 280 times a day, more than 105,000 times each year, is not just annoying, it is a largely unrecognized health threat that is increasing the risk of hypertension, stroke, and heart attacks worldwide, including for more than 100 million Americans. We've all been told to limit the volume on our headphones to protect our hearing, but it is the relentless din of daily life in some places that can have lasting effects throughout the body. Anyone who lives in a noisy environment, like the neighborhoods near this Brooklyn Highway, may feel they have adapted to the cacophony, but data shows the opposite. Prior noise exposure primes the body to overreact, amplifying the negative effects. Even people who live in relatively peaceful rural and suburban communities can be at risk. The sudden blare of trains that run periodically through DeLo, Mississippi, population less than 400, can be especially jarring to the body because there is little ambient noise to drown out the jolt. They say they also went to neighborhoods in rural Mississippi and in New York City and suburban California and New Jersey to measure residents' noise exposure and interview them about the commotion in their lives. They also consulted more than 30 scientists and reviewed thousands of pages of research and policy to examine the pathology and epidemiology of noise. All right, there's a whole lot more information here. It says what noise does to your body. And we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly. Stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
And the rust on your door, I never needed anything more. Or whispers of, are you sure? Never have I ever before. But I can see us lost in the memory. August slipped away into a moment in time. Cause it was never mine. And I can see us twisted in bed sheets. August slipped away. Like a bottle of wine. Cause you were never mine. You're back beneath the sun. Wishing I could write my name on.
From gas to groceries, Wisconsinites are feeling it. Higher prices are making it tough to pay your bills. So why are some in Washington pushing a new, costly mandate that'll make things harder for Wisconsin consumers? It'll mean the credit card rewards you enjoy will go away. That's right. Earning cash back, points, or miles all could vanish. Washington bureaucrats think they know better. Consumers and Main Street will lose big. That's why we need Representative Tom Tiffany to step up and help stop this harmful new mandate. Please call Representative Tiffany at 202-225-3365. Urge Representative Tiffany to stand with consumers. Paid for by American Bankers Association, ABA.com.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today with a high of 84. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy again tonight, lows level off around 54. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs level off around 77. Highs around 81 Friday under sunny skies. 86 Saturday, chance for scattered thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 64.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Where the days are short and the nights are long. Where they walk and I walk. They twist and I twist. They shimmy and I shimmy. They fly and I fly. Well, they're out there having fun in that warm California sun. Well, I'm going out of west out on the coast. Where the California girls are really the most.
Getting somewhere, the Rivieras on a Wednesday morning. That's the kind of music that makes you feel good, right? Just hearing it makes you feel like you start dancing, you're in a better mood. Man, today's going to be a great day because I'm listening to the Rivieras on the radio. Well, not all sounds are good for us. As I was mentioning before the break, new research shows that loud noise and living with loud noise can actually take years off of your life. And I was reading from this article in the New York Times, and we were to the part here in the story where it says, what noise does to your body? A siren shrills, a dog barks, engines thrum, and jackhammers clack. Unpleasant noise enters your body through your ears, but it is relayed to the stress detection center in your brain. This area, called the amygdala, triggers a cascade of reactions in your body. If the amygdala is chronically overactivated by noise, the reactions begin to produce harmful effects. The endocrine system can overreact, causing too much cortisol, adrenaline, and other chemicals to course through the body. The sympathetic nervous system can also become hyperactivated, quickening the heart rate, raising blood pressure, and triggering the production of inflammatory cells. Over time, these changes can lead to inflammation, hypertension, and plaque buildup in arteries, increasing the risk of heart disease, heart attacks, and strokes. To understand this pathway, researchers broke it down. They scanned the brains of people as they listened to unpleasant sounds. Styrofoam rubbing, nails on a chalkboard, a dentist's drill, and watched live as their amygdalas activated. They also strapped blood pressure monitors and noise dosimeters onto auto assembly plant workers during a shift to see their blood pressures and heart rates rise with their noise exposure. To simulate relentless nights, scientists played dozens of sporadic recordings of passing trains and planes overhead in healthy volunteers' bedrooms, recordings taken of real disruptions from people's homes. They found that the next morning, the volunteers had higher adrenaline levels, stiffened arteries, and spikes in plasma proteins that indicate inflammation. When researchers analyzed the brain scans and health records of hundreds of people at Massachusetts General Hospital, they made a stunning discovery. Those who lived in areas with high levels of transportation noise we're more likely to have highly activated amygdalas, arterial inflammation, and within 5 years, major cardiac events. The associations remained even after researchers adjusted for other environmental and behavioral factors that could contribute to poor cardiac health, like air pollution, socioeconomic factors, and smoking. In fact, noise may trigger immediate heart attacks. Higher levels of aircraft noise exposure in the 2 hours preceding nighttime deaths have been tied to heart-related mortality. So how loud is too loud? Sound is often measured on a scale of decibels, or dB, in which near total silence is 0 dB, and a firecracker exploding within a meter of the listener is about 140 dB or decibels. We used a professional device called a sound level meter to record the decibel levels of common sounds and environments. A quiet room is 27 decibels. A busy street is 69 dB. A hairdryer is 87, and a freight train is 117. Compared with a quiet room, a passing freight train peaks at about four times as many decibels, but the difference in how loud the train sounds to the ear is much more dramatic. The train sounds more than 500 times as noisy. That's because the decibel scale is logarithmic, not linear. With every 10 decibel increase, the sense of loudness to the ear generally doubles. And that means regular exposure to even a few more decibels of noise above moderate levels can trigger reactions that are harmful to health. According to the World Health Organization, average road traffic noise above 53 decibels or average aircraft noise exposure above about 45 decibels are associated with adverse health effects. Nearly a third of the U.S. population lives in areas exposed to noise levels of at least 45 decibels, according to a preliminary analysis based on models of road, rail, and aircraft noise in 2020 from the Department of Transportation. All right, so how noisy is your environment? Is this something you should be concerned with? I think it makes a difference. And obviously, now there is research that shows that it does. It's 8:57 and a half right now. I'm going to take a break. Everybody stick around. You're tuned in to your Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trygve Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The idea that they're going to basically take this once-in-a-lifetime surplus, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC.